this invitation to Perimeter Institute, which I'm very happy to visit. And as you know, I'm going to speak about Emmy Noether. And so this was, this talk is trying to explain what is actually in the paper that Emmy Noether wrote back in 1918. And there have been many occasions this year in various places to speak about that, but this is an occasion to give some details about her own work and how, where it came from, where did it originate, who were people who actually wrote theorems or statements that related symmetries with conservation before Noether. She was not absolutely the first person to think about this very important problem. And also, after I try and explain what is actually contained in the 20 or 30 pages or so of her 1918 article, what came after that? Well, what you know is the, what all of you know is the present outcome that the Noether theorems are everywhere in physics, also in mathematics. But what happened in between? How did this work of Noether become famous? Was it famous when she first published it? So we start with a little Latin, if you remember it. But if you don't remember Latin, the English is just below. And I think this is quite appropriate quotation, because the methods described in this book, we're talking about Euler's famous paper on maxima and minima, on deriving maxima and minima of curves. And he says that the methods he describes are not only of great use in analysis, but are also most helpful in physics, of a solution of problems in physics. And we just do a permutation. We write article instead of book in the quotation of Euler, and we have a description of Emmy Noether's article of 1918. And so, as I said before, we shall try and see what came before and what came after 1918. And in particular, how original, how modern, how influential were her results. And the transmission of the Noether theorems is quite a picturesque subject. She had predecessors, as I said. And I will speak a little bit about the circumstances of her life in Germany, in Erlangen first, where she was born, and then in Göttingen, where she did her work. And I will try and describe what her article contains. And then this story of how it became very important. She was born in 1882. She died in 1935 in Bryn Mawr near Philadelphia in the US. And her early life was quite a bourgeois life, not a scientific one. She was from a Jewish family, and she was the daughter of a very well-known mathematician, Max Noether, professor at the University of Erlangen. She had a brother who studied mathematics and physics, And he became a professor of theoretical physics, of theoretical mechanics, actually, in the University of Karlsruhe in 1902, then submitted his habilitation 10 years later. Then he became professor in the city of Breslau, but that was in the 30s already, and he was, of course, forced to leave Germany in 1933, and he chose to emigrate to the Soviet Union, where he was able to get a position at the University of Tomsk. But, of course, he was accused of being a German spy. He was jailed and eventually shot in 1941. Here you see Miss Emmy Noether when she was still young and slim. And this is the picture that's being reproduced everywhere now. And I think it's very pretty, but probably not very typical of Noether, the mathematician. So what are the circumstances of her famous work of 1918? Well, before that, she was studying to become a teacher of French and English. And then she started studying mathematics for good, first with her father, who was a professor at the University of Erlangen. And then for one semester in 1903-04, she audited courses in Göttingen. Eventually, in 1904, she was permitted to matriculate in Erlangen. And 3 years later, she did her PhD. She completed her doctorate. Her advisor was Paul Gordon, who is a well-known algebraist. And here I give you a little warning, because there are many people in the story, and not only in this story, they are usually very often confused. So the advisor of Emmy Noether was the algebraist Gordon, and there is a physicist, of course, Walter Gordon, after whom the Klein-Gordon equation is named. So this is a confusion that should not be made. And if we speak about the Klein-Gordon equation, we should also be warned that the Klein in Klein-Gordon equation is not the Klein who is the Felix Klein, who is a great mathematician. So that's just an aside. And what happened to Emmy Noether in Erlangen? Well, she wrote her thesis, which is called On the Construction of a System of Forms of a Ternary Biquadratic Form. It dealt with the search for the invariance of homogeneous polynomials in three variables of degree four. And it's very computational. If you look at the text, which was published in Krell's journal in 1908, you will see endless equations. It's really not what you think the young Emmy Noether would have written, but it is her thesis. And then she was then already in Göttingen, and the faculty hired Ernst Fischer, she was still in Erlangen, I'm sorry. And it's in Erlangen that Fischer came as a professor to succeed Gordon. And she was able to work with him, to learn from him, and she was influenced by him. And she started teaching somewhat, substituting for her father. After her thesis, she wrote several papers which all deal with invariant theory. And these papers appeared in the Mathematischen Annalen. And in particular, she was interested in the determination of basis of invariance that furnish expansions of linear combinations with integral or rational coefficients. So now we come to Göttingen, which is not very far from Erlangen, somewhat northeast, I think. And so in Göttingen, there was a very important school of mathematicians with Felix Klein and David Hilbert. And they invited her to Göttingen because her expertise in invariant theory was precious to them. So she came in 1915, and immediately she took an active part in Klein's seminar. And 3 years later, she was able to publish this now very well-known paper on the connection between invariants, which we now call symmetry, rather, and conservation laws. But what we should know is that this paper, this work of Noether, is really quite isolated in her total production. Because soon after she wrote this paper, she actually turned to problems in abstract algebra, for which she is immensely famous among mathematicians. And till her death, she wrote on algebra, and she did not go back to her work on what we could call mathematical physics somehow. So how did it all happen? She first wrote a paper on invariance in the Göttingen Nachrichten in early 1918. And then in the same newspaper, a few months later, she wrote the invariant variational problems. It was presented by Felix Klein at a meeting of a society, of a mathematical society of Göttingen, in July. But she writes in a footnote that the definitive version of a manuscript was prepared only at the end of September. So we're not too far from the date of Noether's paper. And what happened after that? Well, many things happened, but we're interested in some reactions to Noether's paper, and also what preceding this famous publication. So this slide is trying to summarize some exchanges that were in letters of Hilbert and Einstein, where they discuss the work, the preparatory work of Noether for her article. So, for instance, Hilbert writes to Einstein in May 1916, what you can read here, that he has already given Miss Noether this question to study. So she was already working on this problem that Hilbert was trying to solve on his own. And Einstein answered, well, of course, it would be sufficient if you asked Miss Noether to clarify this for me. Okay, so we know she already had some role in this development of general relativity. And here is her very bad handwriting on a postcard that she sent to Felix Klein. Actually, I think her father was sick, and she had to go to Erlangen to be near him. So we have one or two postcards and letters that she had to exchange with Felix Klein, who was in Göttingen. So because of that, we have a few testimonies of her preparatory work. And you see some beautiful equations or illegible equations, which actually are the equations that you find in the first paragraph of her article. And what did she write in a postcard to Klein on the 15th of February? Well, already a sketch of her second theorem, but only in a particular case. And then in a letter to Klein in March, she gives a preliminary formulation of an essential consequence of what would become her second theorem. And so to complete the calendar, it was on the 23rd of July that she announced her results before the Mathematical Society of Göttingen. And then on the 26th of July, it was Felix Klein himself who presented a communication by Noether, but this time to the Göttingen Scientific Society, a larger society. So now you can look at this, and you have seen Noether's article of 1918. This is the first page of her article. It has the date, it has a number of references, and she mentions that it was presented by Klein already on the 26th of July. So what is in this article? Well, she considered variational problems, and she said so. She said, we consider variational problems which are invariant under a continuous group in the sense of Li. So we already know that she was dealing with Li groups. And also she specifies that her article is based not only on what she calls Li's theory of groups, but also on the formal calculus of variations. So she considers a general n-dimensional variational problem of order kappa, any integer, for a function which takes values in R to some power, which she calls mu. And so she considers an integral of this form. So here the xi's, which she calls x alpha, actually, of the independent variables, and the ui of the dependent variables. And she states her conventions. I omit the indices and the summations. In other words, she uses what we call Einstein's summation convention, which was already in use. And she has abbreviated notations for the higher order derivatives and so on. And she states in what follows, we shall examine the following two theorems. In the integral I is invariant under a G rho, then there are rho linearly independent combinations among the Lagrangian expressions, which become divergences. And conversely, that implies the invariance of I under a group, she says, under a G rho. The theorem remains valid in the limiting case of an infinite number of parameters. And this is theorem one. And theorem two is stated at the beginning also. If integral I is invariant under G infinity rho, depending upon arbitrary functions and their derivatives up to a certain order sigma, then there are rho identities among the Lagrangian expressions and their derivatives up to order sigma. Here as well, the converse is valid. And this is her footnote. For some trivial exceptions, see paragraph 2, note 13. So you have seen Noether's two theorems. And you see that there are two. Okay. And how does she prove each theorem? Well, theorem one, the assumption is that the hypothesis is that the action integral is invariant. Actually, she assumes a more restrictive hypothesis. She assumes the invariance of the integral. And she expresses this hypothesis by the equation, which is somewhere here. But the first standard equation, where she considered the variation of the integrand f of a form variation of the dependent variables minus sigma partial ui over dx lambda of the variation of the independent variable. And she actually, by writing such a formula, she actually introduces what we now call an evolution representative delta bar of a given vector field delta. And delta bar is also called in some papers vertical representative of delta. That comes from differential geometry, if you look at the case of a fiber bundle. And of course, delta bar of f is the lead derivative of f in the direction of this vector field delta bar. So for us, we recognize here what was called later generalized vector fields, which are not vector field in the usual sense on a vector bundle Rn cross R mu over Rn. And in local coordinates, if delta is given by the expression here with components x alpha along the small x alpha and components yi among the dependent variables ui, then the delta bar in question is given by this formula. And more generally, any generalized vector field is written locally as an expression of this form. And so to end the proof, we need the theorem now, theorem one. She integrates by parts, and she derives the identity sigma psi I delta bar ui equals delta bar f plus divergence of something, which she calls capital A. And what are the psi i's? They are what she calls the Lagrangian expressions. And that's the left-hand side of the Euler-Lagrange equation, the components of the Euler-Lagrange derivative or differential of L. And A is some expression which is linear in the vertical variations and their derivatives. Now, by using, so now comes in the invariance hypothesis. So she expresses this invariance hypothesis so that she can rewrite this identity as sigma psi I delta bar ui with, on the left-hand side, divergence of something. That something is built out of the capital A, which we had before, and the f delta x that comes from the invariance hypothesis. So what? So it's finished. B is a conserved current for the Lagrange equations of L. And that's her theorem. And whenever the Euler-Lagrange equations psi I equals 0 are satisfied, then divergence of B equals 0. So you have conservation laws in that case. She mentions, and later she mentioned that the converse, what was really important, but it's in the article, she mentions that you can go back in this derivation. So that starting from the existence of linearly independent divergence relations, you can go back towards the invariance under a group of symmetries with a Lie group of symmetries whose dimension is equal to the number of linearly independent divergence relations. And so this is going from the conservation laws towards infinitesimal invariance. And then she specifies that if this vector field, well, I'm not sure she actually specifies, but we say if these vector fields have well-defined flows, then we have global global invariance, global symmetry. And yes, she goes from the existence of linearly independent conservation laws to infinitesimal invariance. And she says that it's not really a one-to-one correspondence. You have to introduce some equivalence relations to make things really one-to-one. And then comes theorem two, which says that if you have a variational problem which has a symmetry, but the symmetry group in this second case have elements which depend not only on real valued parameters, but on arbitrary functions, on functions. Just as the case, for instance, of diffeomorphisms of manifold, or more generally, all the gauge groups that have been studied ever since 1954, and much more recently too. And so in that case, what Noether derives from the hypothesis of invariance under these infinite groups is not conservation laws, but identities which are satisfied by the variational derivatives. And there also there is a converse. Now, to go into details a little bit, you have an assumption which says that the integral I is invariant under a group depending upon arbitrary functions and the derivatives up to order sigma. And then the conclusion will be that there will be relations between the psi I, the components of the Euler-Lagrange derivative, up to a certain order, which we'll see presently. So what's the way to arrive at that result? Well, she considers the adjoint operator of each of the operators di. These operators di are what define these symmetries of the variational problem. She doesn't call it the adjoint operator, but that's what it is. So you have this relation which is satisfied with the divergence of a certain element gamma I on the right-hand side, which is not completely arbitrary. We know it's linear in the variable p and also in its derivatives. And then she restates the symmetry assumption. And using this an integration by parts, she derives the equation in the middle, again with divergence of a certain quantity b. Now, if you replace the left-hand side by expression in terms of the adjoint of the I, you get the equation in the bottom. And here again, you have a right-hand side, which is a divergence. But now, since P is arbitrary, using Stokes' theorem and a simple lemma, which is due to Dubois-Raymond, she derives the fact that the adjoint operator acting on the Euler-Lagrange equations psi I are going to sum up to zero. And that's a differential relation among the components of the Euler-Lagrange derivative of a Lagrangian. And that relation is identically satisfied because of a symmetry assumption. And again, there is care to be taken with the relation between the two, the assumption and the conclusion, whether we have a one-to-one correspondence between symmetries and relations. And again, she deals with what precautions have to be taken. Now, it's not quite the end of a proof of theorem two. She observes, she rewrites each identity that she derived, and then she shows that the divergences that she has introduced, which she called divergence of B, and she shows that this has to be equal to the divergence of a certain quantity, which she calls C, which is zero as a consequence of the Euler-Lagrange equations. And then from the equality of the divergences of B and C, it follows that there is a difference, which is also a divergence, which now vanishes identically and independently, therefore, of the fact that the Euler-Lagrange equations are satisfied. And these are the conservation laws that Noether called improper divergence relations. Now, if you look in at the detail of this proof, you will see that you have various kinds of conservation laws and even various kinds of trivial conservation laws. Those quantities like C, which not only have a divergence which vanishes on the equations, on the psi I equals zero equations, but also is itself zero. And the divergence of D, which vanishes identically, and then the other kind is the divergence of D, which actually vanishes identically, whether or not the equations are set, the Euler-Lagrange equations are satisfied. So there is a terminology which I took from the book of Peter Olver, distinguishing two kinds of trivial conservation laws, which are in Noether's article. And then the last paragraph of Noether's article is probably what's more interesting from the historical point of view, because this is where she explains what the relationship of her results is to a problem in general relativity. So going back a little bit, Hilbert in 1918, but before Noether's article, had asserted that in the case of general relativity, and in that case only, there are no proper conservation laws. Well, Noether says that it's better to go not to the case of general relativity, but in the more general situation of group theory. She explains the apparent paradox that arises from the considerations of finite dimensional subgroups of groups that depend upon arbitrary functions. And that's what she writes. Given I invariant under the group of translations, then the energy relations are improper if and only if I is invariant under an infinite group which contains the group of translations as a subgroup. And she concludes with a beautiful formula. The term relativity that is used in physics should be replaced by invariance with respect to a group. Now, we can comment no end on Noether, so on Noether's article. And here I want to go back a little bit to say, well, it's absolutely fundamental, it's great, but she was not the first to speak about conservation laws and symmetries. Lagrange, already in 1788, he had a general method for deriving a general formula for the motion of bodies. So he was doing mechanics. And he writes that the general equations that contain the principles or theorems known under the names of a conservation of kinetic energy, conservation of a motion of a center of mass, conservation of a momentum of rotational motion, principle of areas, and principle of areas. So he already considered all these conservation properties. And then in 1811, when he published the second edition of his Mécanique Analytique, he observed an explicit correlation between these principles of conservation and invariance properties. So this was proto-Noether, if you like. And also he also mentioned his predecessors, and here is a list of great people who had done work even before Lagrange, of course. After him, what happened? Well, after him, Jacobia happened. And if you look, if you open the principles of dynamics of Jacobi, you will find a discussion of these conservation properties, conservation principles, quite explicit in his book. Then came, of course, Sophus Lee, and there would be no study of symmetry and invariance without Lie groups. And closer to the work of Emmy Noether, there were some rather lesser known people, Hamel and Herglotz, which she cites in the on the first page of her article, who considered various special interesting cases. And she also refers to Lorentz, to Weil, to Hermann Weil, and to Klein, who had published on related subjects just before she wrote her article, and also on Gneser. She also mentioned Gneser. So can we conclude that her work is 100% original? Well, of course not. Everything is related. She was a successor of all these people, but I think the generality, what should be stressed, is that the generality of Noether's work is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, that's what's striking. And I had occasion to speak about Thibaut Damour, who is a great general relativity specialist. And he says, well, I think the second theorem is the most important. But we know that the first is also very important. And was it very modern? Well, of course, yes, it was extremely modern. So much so that some of her work was actually rediscovered many times and much later. So who rediscovered generalized vector fields? Well, somebody called Harold Johnson, Robert Hermann, who wrote a lot on mathematical physics and differential geometry. And then there's a paper by Anderson, Kumai and Wolfman, and another paper by Anderson and Ibragimov, who actually wrote a book that they called Lie-Backlund Transformations in Applications. And what they call Lie-Backlund Transformations is actually what I called generalized vector fields. And the reason why they called it that way is there are Backlund transformations, which are a different kind of transformations. But I think that, I mean, it's clear that they're not the same as these generalized transformations of Noether. And so the name is not well chosen. And of course, the theory of integrable systems exploded after 1970 in every direction, in Europe and elsewhere. And this was an occasion, if you like, for rediscovering Noether's work. She did have one follower by the name of Erich Bessenhagen. So it's an interesting story that he refers to her, and he had a slight generalization of her results. And usually people think that Bessenhagen discovered these generalized vector fields, which are symmetries up to divergence. But actually, if you look at what he wrote in his article, he said that he had conversations with Emmy Noether, who suggested this generalization. So this is Emmy Noether. Yes, this is what I just explained. What do they consist of? These symmetries up to divergence, and the little remark by Emmy Noether, by Bessenhagen, who says, well, it was Emmy Noether who told me about this. And then what happened? Well, not much, at least immediately, because she herself never referred to her article in any of her subsequent publications. And that's a little lie, because I have an example of one case where she actually referred to it. If we have time, maybe in the discussion, I can tell you about it. And so what Weil, Hermann Weil himself did and wrote in his book on space-time matter, is very close to what Emmy Noether does, but he does not cite her. And if you look at any of the numerous editions of the Courant-Hilbert treatise, you will see that Emmy Noether's theorems, both theorems, are briefly mentioned in those treatises. And then what happened after that? Well, it was quite a surprise when I started looking at those references that it was mainly in the Soviet Union that these results seem to have been remembered. And as early as 1936, compared to those 1960, 1970 in the West, Markov was alluding to or mentioning the well-known theorems of Noether. So it must have been well-known in his circle. And so he states that he will get 10 conservation laws from the 10-dimensional Galilean group with the aid of Noether's theorems. He was a student of Fock and Römer, and Römer had been an assistant to Max Born in Göttingen in 1929 for 3 years. And maybe we can think this is the line of transmission from Noether to Markov. We can maybe assume that these physicists had been a witness to Noether's work and had remembered it and transmitted it. But in fact, if we look at the papers of that period, we don't see a reference to Noether. We don't see an allusion to her work. Only we see a reference to Hermann Weil, whose work was very close to that of Noether. Do we know why he didn't cite Noether? Maybe because she was a woman. Maybe because she was Jewish. We do not know. And later, the work of Noether was also remembered. And There is a long historical monograph by Visgin, which is really an analysis of her work. And it was published in 1972. Then we come to more modern treatises, which we have had occasion to use, maybe by Gelfand and Fomin on the calculus of variations. That's 1961. And they do present the first theorem in a modern, more modern presentation, but not yet using the formalism of Jetz. And they also mention a few lines about her second theorem. And then there are important papers by Dickey, Dorfman, and Manin, and also Gelfand and Fomin on the formal calculus of variations. But I'm not sure that they are in direct a direct consequence of Noether's work. And for instance, Manin in 1978 and Cooper-Schmidt in 1980 state what they call a formal Noether theorem, which is a kind of abstract version of Noether theorem. Then came even much more recent a work by Alexander Vinogradov, who had been a member of Gelfand's seminar, but he has been in Italy for many years. And together with Krasilchik, he published extensively on symmetries, greatly generalizing Noether's formalism and results, and also on their applications. Other lines of transmission are in Italy through mainly Franco Magri, and in France through Jean-Marie Souriau, and independently in the US by Bertram Constant, who introduced the notion of moment map. And that's a remark I wanted to make, because very often people speak of the Hamiltonian Noether theorem. And that's really a misnomer, because Noether dealt only with Lagrangian problems, and these very important works in differential geometry of Constant and Souriau are extremely important in themselves, but do not deal with the original formulation of Noether. Okay, that's more for physicists. What happened to the improper conservation laws? Well, they were called strong laws in general relativity. They are very important in general relativity. So I can cite Peter Bergmann, Trautmann, and Goldberg, who wrote extensively on this subject. And then in gauge theory, the mathematicians became aware of strong correlations between gauge theory and Noether's construction of conservation laws. And if you look at some papers by Jim Stashev and his collaborator Philip and Lada, you will see that they use the combinations that appear in Noether's, the identities that appear in Noether's second theorem as antighosts in a BV construction for Lagrangians in the case of Lagrangians with symmetries. So they called the one article Noether's variational theorem 2 and the BV formalism. So you get connection with some purely mathematical work there. Okay. Many people claimed to have generalized Noether, and it's not true, except for Wesselhagen, which we mentioned before. And if you read the celebrated article by Hill of 1951, you will see that he generalizes Noether. Or at least he claims to generalize Noether, but I hope to have shown But he was not actually generalizing Noether. It was already Noether. And, okay, this I will spin because I see that the clock is running. So it's interesting, but other developments, of course, if I start telling you about all the modern developments or even, let's say, pre-modern, I will not finish at three. So let me see what's coming. One direction in which her work was actually generalized, it's the case of non-variational equations. There are things you can say when you deal with equations that do not come from a variational problem. That's the case when the Euler-Lagrange operator is not self-adjoint. So then you replace the Fréchet derivative of the Euler-Lagrange equation by its adjoint, and you still get some results. But that was not in Noether, and this is much more recent. And also, of course, Noether was not speaking about C-infinity manifolds. She was dealing with local expressions. And so in the more recent time, a lot was done to reframe her results in the language of differential geometry. So you have here a selection of people, the early works that did this modernization, in a sense, of Noether. So that this is one expression of this modernized Noether theorem. And even more recently, then these results were interpreted in the language of cohomology. And there was a large literature on the exact sequence of the calculus of variations and even the variational bicomplex, in which you recover Noether's original results as a particular case. So these are the names of some names of people who worked in that direction. And then discrete versions of Noether's theorems have appeared, and they're now being developed quite extensively by Elizabeth Mansfield and her co-author Peter Hayden. And they have many publications on this subject. And then I was trying to find out whether these theorems were famous, where and when were they famous? Well, it seems that in Russia they were well known, but it seems that in the West, before Peter Olver published his book in 1986, I think these two theorems, the way they are written in Noether's article, were not recognized for what they are. Okay. And then some people starting speaking about the Noether theorems. And I have the Noether theorems on the cover of my book, which is the one in the bottom. So you can look at it. And her fame was eventual. Greg Zuckerman wrote that Noether's abstract analysis continues to be relevant to contemporary physics as well as to applied mathematics. And then there are quite a few statements that are not really appropriate, like saying that these theorems can be generalized to higher order derivatives. It's not true. Higher order derivatives are there. And how shall I conclude? Well, by saying what Noether was not. There are many things or many properties that cannot be applied to her. She was not a proto-feminist. She did not fight for women. She had one woman student, but she didn't state anything along the lines of modern feminism. She was just a very important mathematician who happened to be a woman. And she was not a practicing Jew. She was not an admirer of the American democracy. She did not explore the philosophical underpinnings of her work. But her 1918 work was clearly inspired by a problem of physics, in physics. She was never herself a physicist and did not return to physics in any of her subsequent publications. All in all, she was a generous woman. She was admired by colleagues and students, and she was a mathematician. Thank you.
Any questions? To remind you, we start with questions from students.
I'm sorry, I went over time a little bit.
I was wondering, you said her father was shot by in the Soviet Union, right?
Her brother. Yes, her brother. No, her father died. I think he died when she was in Göttingen working with Klein and Hilbert.
I'm wondering, you're saying that her sympathies were for the Soviet Union.
How yes. Well, in 1933, Jews had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And she thought of, she had good relations with Alexandrov, mm-hmm. who was a great Russian mathematician, who had visited her several times in Göttingen. And I think she had visited him in Moscow also. So she considered fleeing to Russia. I don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but in the end, she was able to receive a not so prestigious invitation in the US, and she left for the US in 1933. She was, her sympathy were with the Soviet Union.
More questions? So you
shout.
She spent most of her career in abstract algebra.
Oh.
Sorry, you said that Noether spent most of her career in abstract algebra and ring theory. But you said that you did find one place where she mentioned her earlier work later in life?
What was that? What did you say? She worked in abstract algebra. After 1919, she only published in abstract algebra.
You made a comment
in one reference.
I mentioned one reference. Oh, I go back to my book and I can give you. It's an interesting story. Somebody submitted an article. And Einstein was the referee. And Einstein thought, Noether would be the person to judge this. And I know where it is. Sorry, I should have prepared this. One never prepares enough. Yes. So the person who submitted the article is called Zaikov, and it had to do with these invariance properties, and he claimed to have generalized her results. So that was later than the article I described. It was in 1926. And fortunately, we have a letter from Noether to Einstein, telling him, no, don't take this article. It's no good. It is, first of all, a restatement that is not at all clear of the principal theorems of my 1918 paper, with a slight generalization, the invariance of integral up to a divergence term, which can already be found in Bessel-Hagen, as I explained. And obviously, she clearly remembered her work, but not its exact date of publication, 1918 or 19. Okay, that was her letter. And citing me here in Zaikov's second paragraph is an error. But, you know, what she writes is not that kind about physicists, because I can tell you exactly what she says on page 165. I can tell you, she just says, well, it's good for physicists, but no more. I can tell you exactly. In that, we have a kiss. I cannot appreciate to what extent the integration of a conservation laws is interesting from the point of view of physics. If that were the case, it might be possible to induce a physics journal to accept this limited part. But for this, I must leave it to the physicists to judge the value. So that's the story. And it's a true story. Everything else is true. I hope.
More questions? So there is buffet downstairs, I believe, and Yvette will be around today and tomorrow. So.
Yes. Today and tomorrow, I'm around.
There's the office on the fourth floor. Thank you.